In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this episode. The topic of this episode is how to cope with failure. Today, Sunday, is the 27th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we'll listen to one verse of one of the chapters of the Holy Quran, chapter An-Najm, verse 32.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم إن ربك واسع المغفرة هو أعلم بكم إذ أنشأكم من الأرض وإذ أنتم أجنة في بطون أمهاتكم فلا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى.
Those who avoid the major sins and immoralities, only committing slight ones. Indeed, your Lord is vast in forgiveness. He was most knowing of you when he produced you from the earth, and when you were fetuses in the wombs of your mothers. So do not claim yourselves to be pure. He is most knowing of who fears him.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
As it is understood from chapter 2, verse 177, belief in Allah, belief in the resurrection day, belief in prophets helping the indigent, prayer and fasting to fulfill the promise and to be steadfast in confronting with problems and adventures, all in all are counted the branches of righteousness. Yes, therefore, to attain the rank of righteousness needs many qualities. One of those qualities is spending out from the possessions that are loved by the person. This kind of giving charity is a standard for measuring the faith and personality of the person.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, Hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Coping with failure and loss, we're talking about. Life in fraud with difficulties and stress, so nothing seems to go the way we planned and obstacles spring up, no matter how well we thought out our steps to success. Dear friend, one of the biggest mistakes we make is to not take advice. Believe it or not, others have been there and found ways to navigate the road to success, whether that road is in this world or in the hereafter. Never allow failure or loss to deter you, depress you, or make you feel unworthy. Give it your best and try again and again, and if need be, again.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to cope with failure. In this regard, we find that some people have suggested some ways in order to cope with failure. One of them is that one should experience some feel of being gloomy. And gloominess, or being gloomy, according to Alfred Marcus, who is a professor of management at the University of Minnesota, this is quite natural that people should feel somewhat agitated or not that sure about the outcome of the projects that they initiate or commence. Another point is that you shouldn't prolong the period of being gloomy or being very much stressed. According to Jeremy Bloom, once you may receive any bad experience, you may give yourself some hours or one or two days, just a couple of days, in order to think about the failure. But after that, you have to think about earning your living and continuing your life in your community with another type of spirit or with another type of incentive. Another one is that you have to be sincere to yourselves, okay, in order to escape or to evade failure. You have to be sincere to yourself, okay? You shouldn't deceive yourselves.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
How to cope with failure, according to psychology. Our step for today's special is resisting socially prescribed perfectionism. If you feel that the other people accept you to be perfect and will judge you harshly if you fail to meet their expectations, you experience this type of perfectionism. A major 2017 review highlighted it as a clear risk factor. People who scored higher on this measure experienced more anxiety, depression, and anger after being led to fail at the task. Interventions aimed at improving well-being and resilience should target this factor, the researchers concluded. Exactly how to go about this is another matter, of course. There is some evidence that exposure to contrasting messages helps to tackle this type of perfectionism. But for an individual, it could be worth resisting the urge to think about how other people might judge you after a failure.
You are the way
present to teach us the words of Allah. Mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Benefits of failure. Failure makes you stronger. The one quality that differentiates those who succeed from those who don't is the mental strength and fearless ability to persevere, whatever the outcome. Using failure to your advantage requires mental strength, and experiencing failure helps build this quality. Bouncing back from failure makes you stronger and more resilient to future failures. The more times you are unsuccessful will help you develop the ability to bounce back quickly and find new solutions to make your next attempts successful. You'll create an inner resolve, tenacity, and a fearless determination to not fail again. This is probably one of the most important benefits of failure.
This person, we value him, respect him because of his success when it came to becoming a surgeon. This person, we respect him and value him because of his success in his field in engineering. We value and respect this person for his success in going and studying Islamic studies. That's why we value him. This person, we value him because what he offered the community. He built a masjid. That's his success story. What he had to go through, what obstacles and hurdles he had to go through until he reached his final destination and reached his goals. So many people throughout the ages have written books about success, and they give you their ingredients how a person could be successful. My personal view towards success is that we need to find the right vehicle to get us to our destinations. Without the right vehicle, you cannot become successful. If you're driving a car without wheels, it's not moving. You will not reach your destination successfully. If you're riding a car that does not have enough gas, it will break down in the middle of the road. And you will not reach your destination successfully. So you have to be in the right vehicle, and a vehicle strong enough to get you to your destinations. Whether it's in this life and this life's values and how people approach success, or it is how people measure success on the day of judgment and in the Akhirah. That this person, he became successful in this life, how we measure it, and what are the measurements of success on the day of judgment? Of course, it's going into paradise, eternal happiness, eternal joy. That is success.
That's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات نعلو به درجات
food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and how about listening to a bezel of wisdom from the Prophet's fourth infallible heir, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him. The best key for all affairs is truth, and the best end of all affairs is faithfulness and loyalty.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another program of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We have seen that there are certain things within the traditions and the ahadith that show that the eulogizing of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is something not only promoted by the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, but is something that they themselves wanted to listen to, especially of Imam al-Husayn alayhimus salam, as we saw in the tradition of al-Maqfuf, the companion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. But in this tradition, it is a very general tradition, in that the Imam alayhi salam does not mention a specific Imam, but rather all the Imams. Therefore, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is also included in this tradition, and we can also say that at a higher level or at a higher kind of emphasis on it because of some other traditions that we have specifically reported about the eulogy and the eulogizing of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But in this tradition, we see that those who actually perform it, the eulogizers, they are a group of people who the Imam said have been placed amongst the Shia by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Imam is actually praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their existence. So if a person is amongst the true eulogizers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, he falls under this tradition and under the praise of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. For the Imam says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ja'ala finnas man yafid ilayna. That all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has placed amongst the people. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has placed amongst the people those who arrive in our presence, eulogizing us and reciting eulogies about us. So here it does not matter about which Imam. Right? First of all, we see that the Imam is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for creating such people. Right? So this is a discussion, you know, far beyond us. That these people were specifically placed there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to praise the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Then the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these people. So these people are very, you know, special. Now it is also something important to know. Is it just poetry, or is it any person who reminds anybody and reminds people of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam? This is important. You know, it does not have to only be by poetry. It can be by any means. This is something that we can extract from this, that the remembrance of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam is important. Not only by us, but also by means of us telling other people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are the instant of this hadith, inshaAllah, and of the true, you know, and of those who truly make others remember the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, inshaAllah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to the dear listeners of this program. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. At first, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran, and then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari. And then Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Besides these segments, we are going to have some other Quranic parts which is going to be presented to you. So stay with us. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Ahmad al-Ruzayqi. Sheikh Ahmad al-Ruzayqi was an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1943 in a Quranic family where all of his family members were Hafiz and reciter of the Holy Quran. He was a fan of Abdul Basit, Muhammad Abdul Samad, and had accompanied him on many trips. He knew the style of different Qaris, and he himself was a prominent master of maqamat of the Holy Quran. Still, he believed that each Qari must have his own style. In 1991, he visited Iran and recited in some gatherings, including the mourning ceremony of the demise anniversary of Imam al-Khomeini. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Ruzayqi reciting Surah Al-Safat, verses 75 to 81. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد نادانا ونجيناه وأهله من الكرب العظيم وجعلنا ذريته هم الباقين ولقد نادانا نوح فلنعم المجيبون ونجيناه وأهله من الكرب العظيم وجعلنا
Dear audience, you are still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah As-Saffat, verses 75 to 81, recited by Sheikh Ahmad al-Ruzayfi. And now Brother Muhammad, the Quranic expert, is going to talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, about this reciter, Sheikh Ahmad al-Ruzayfi, he was both a friend of Abdul Basit and also Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi. And his style of recitation is similar to both Sheikh Abdul Basit and also Sheikh Minshawi. And he is very familiar with the maqamat. And he uses almost all of the maqams in his recitation. Okay, let's go over the rules of tajweed in this recitation. وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا We have قَلْغَلَ in the word قَدْ. The dal is ساكن, so you have to make sure that the articulators don't remain in the place of articulation of that letter, which is a letter of قَلْغَلَ. For example, if you say وَلَقَدْ, you should not hold the dal. وَلَقَدْ, you should quickly release it. وَلَقَدْ نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ We have a إِخْفَاء of نُون ساكنة نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ
The tanveen has got a نُون ساكنة at the end.
Yes, and also we have the letter فَ after the tanveen, which means that we have to approximate, make the articulators very close to the place of articulation of فَ. And if it's not very close, that would be incorrect. If you say نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ. That's too far. It should be closer. نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ.
Yeah, you mean the upper front teeth and the lower lip.
Yes.
Should get closer.
Right. Yes, they should be really close. فَلَنِعْمَ. The عين is pronounced with
تَوَسُط
and without قَلْغَلَ by Sheikh Ahmed al-Ruzayqi.
And by تَوَسُط you mean timing. Concerning timing, it should be
yes, the timing
in between letters of...
Yes, it's the amount of time that you spend pronouncing that letter.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you say ni'ma, ni'ma, that's like a letter of shiddah.
Closer.
And the timing is reduced. Mm-hmm. You spend less time on the ayin. And if you say ni'ma, you're spending too much time on the ayin. It should be in between ni'ma, ni'ma.
That's right.
وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ. The ra is pronounced with tarqiq,
thinness,
in the first way. You could also say ذُرِّيَّتَهُ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ, which is you pronounce the ra with vibration of the tip of the tongue. It's not a trill. It's different from a trill. If you say ذُرِّيَّ, that's incorrect. That's a trill. ذُرِّيَّتَهُ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ is the first kind. ذُرِّيَّتَهُ. You make the tapping sound followed by the dragging sound of ra. And the first way is preferred. That is without the vibration.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we want to shed some light on a beautiful tradition as has been narrated, as has been coming from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali. May God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. And in this tradition we see the importance of recitation of the Quran, of memorization of the Quran, and how this can be a protection for us from challenges, from difficulties, from things that may be happening around the world, and that we will hopefully be seeking protection from Allah from all of these challenges. In this beautiful tradition, the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, has been reported as having stated the following: recite the Quran and seek assistance from it, for surely Allah the Most High will not punish one who has memorized the Quran and has it within one's heart. As the Commander of the Faithful shows us that it is important for us to always be in a connection with the Quran, to recite the noble words of Allah within the Quran, and not only to recite them but also to seek assistance, to seek help with Allah from the Quran, to seek help from the passages, to seek help from the concepts and the discussions which Allah has put within the Quran. Allah tells us in the Quran that the book is a book of guidance. It is a book which helps us to distinguish right from wrong. The Quran is a cure for the ailments within our heart. And there are many other ways that Allah describes the book within the book itself. And so we have to read and reflect and concentrate on the passages of the Quran and seek assistance with Allah from the Quran, because indeed it is a cure. It is an intercessor whose intercession shall be accepted. And he also reminds us, as many of the traditions that we read in the books that talk about the importance of the Quran, of memorization of the Quran. And as the Commander of the Faithful says, that Allah would not punish that individual who has memorized the Quran. Now obviously we have to appreciate this hadith in the correct context, because many people may be out there who memorize the Quran but who are not necessarily following and practicing the verses of the Quran. And so we appreciate the fact that memorization is but just the first step in actually gaining these blessings and bounties with which the Commander of the Faithful has spoken about, and with many other traditions have spoken about. And so we have to memorize the book, we have to read it, we have to seek help from it. Memorization also has to be there, but above all of these stages is the art and the practice of actually putting the Quranic teachings into a daily application within our lives? What good is it to know that backbiting is a sin if we continue to do it? What good is it if we read the verses where Allah condemns to the hellfire the liars, the cheaters, the oppressors, and yet we do those same actions on a day-to-day basis? What good is it that we read the Quran when it talks about praying and fasting and charity, and we give none of these importance in our lives? And so yes, it is important to read and to reflect and to memorize the Quran, but let us allow that to be the first step in actual implementation and practical application of the Quran within our lives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear audience, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن. When your horse returns to our camp riderless,
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of زيارة إمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة العاشوراء. So stay with us.
فلعن الله أمتان أسست أساس الظلم والجار عليكم أهل البيت ولعن الله أمتان دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
In the previous programs, dear listeners, we had a look at some of the verses of the Holy Quran in which the word la'n was used. And we can conclude that not only it is allowed in Islam to seek the divine expulsion of those who deserve such expulsion, it is also an expression of harmony with the all-wise and the all-merciful Creator Himself, who curses those who deserve it.
The Holy Quran says, كَيْفَ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ وَشَهِدُوا أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ حَقٌّ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ أُولَئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ أَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. The Holy Quran says that these people's punishment is that there shall be upon them the curse of Allah, the angels, and all mankind. But it's not just the verses of the Holy Quran talking about la'n. There are so many instances in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, as well as the distinguished companions of the Holy Prophet, where la'n is perfectly expressed. For example, in the Shi'i sources, we have this narration from the Holy Prophet: إذا ظهرت البدع في أمتي فليظهر العالم علمه فمن لم يفعل فعليه لعنة الله. When innovations appear in my nation, the knowledgeable one must manifest his knowledge, and whosoever does not do so, then upon him be the curse of Allah. Or, for example, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said that the Holy Prophet said, مَلْعُونٌ مَلْعُونٌ مَنْ عَبَدَ الدِّينَارَ وَالدِّرْهَمْ. Cursed, cursed is the one who worships dinar and dirham, the words which are indicatives of all money. Or Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, مَلْعُونٌ مَلْعُونٌ مَالٌ لَا يُزَكَّى. Cursed, cursed is the wealth that is not purified.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates him, he understands his dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And we also have different traditions mentioned in Sunni sources. It has been mentioned that after the Holy Prophet ﷺ returned from his farewell pilgrimage, he ordered a 20-year-old brave youth called Usama to take an army and go for an expedition against the Romans, who were about to attack Medina. He also commanded some very prominent companions to join the ranks. But unfortunately, many did not heed to the Holy Prophet's words, and the Holy Prophet ﷺ declared, جَهِزُوا جَيْشَ أُسَامَ لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ تَخَلَّفَ مِنَهُ. Prepare and equip the army of Usama. May Allah's curse be on who lags behind it. So here, there is a clear mention of the Prophet's curse on some of his prominent companions. Or the Holy Prophet himself is reported to have said, مَلْعُونٌ مَنْ سَبَّ أَبَاهُ مَلْعُونٌ مَنْ سَبَّ أُمَّهُ مَلْعُونٌ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Cursed is one who vilifies his father. Cursed is one who vilifies his mother. and cursed is the one who slaughters a sacrifice for other than Allah. Or Abu Bakr himself reports from the Holy Prophet, مَلْعُونٌ مَنْ ضَارَ مُؤْمِنًا أَوْ مَكَرَ بِهِ. Cursed is the one who harms a believer or deceives him. These are the hadiths and traditions mentioned in the sources of Sunni scholars. Also, it is narrated from the Holy Prophet in those sources that the Holy Prophet says, إِذَا دَعَ الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ إِلَى فِرَاشِهِ فَأَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ فَبَاتْ وَهُوَ غَضْبَانْ لَعَنَتْهَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ حَتَّى تَصْبَحْ. If a man calls his wife to his bed and she refuses, and he spends the night while he is angry with her, the angels curse her until morning. So, these are only a few of the examples from the Holy Quran and Sunnah, and some try to challenge these verses of the Holy Quran and traditions under the pretext that Islam is a religion of peace and mercy. Islam does not want others to be banished from the mercy of the Almighty. These arguments are questioning the validity of the Holy Quran and the teachings of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and such an argument does not hold weight. And these kinds of arguments actually question the most fundamental Islamic sources. And la'n does exist in the Holy Quran and in the traditions. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Stories from the Past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters. Thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of The Lantern. Anyone who knows me knows that I have a habit, or rather, I have a knack for having absolutely outlandish, over-the-top, weird dreams. Just a while ago, I dreamt that I was a Russian boxer. And which is weird because I don't even watch boxing movies. But the point is, our subconscious really goes on a ride when we're dreaming, and our creativity and our imagination manifests itself to the fullest in that realm. Why am I talking about dreams? Because the short anecdote we're going to hear is about having weird dreams, but that's not the point of today's discussion. Let's hear it real quick. We'll talk about what the moral of the story is.
In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear friends, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to the program Lantern from IRIB English Radio. As usual, we have an interesting story at the first step of this episode. Living this dream is the title of today's story. I woke up today having dreamt morning at 4 a.m. I was in a mall in Ethiopia, looking to buy a pair of socks and necktie. As I walked in, I noticed a sweater with a price tag of 9,000 birr. Next to the sweater were a pair of jeans for 10,000 birr. I went looking for a salesperson. He was showing a man a 225 birr Rolex watch. Shocked, I asked the salesperson, "How could a Rolex watch sell for 225 birr and a cheap pair of socks sell for 8,000 birr?" He said someone slid into the store at night and changed the price tag on everything. Everyone is confused. People are acting like they have lost their sense of value. They are willing to pay lots of money for things of little value and very little money for things of great value. It's like they don't know what is really valuable and what's not. I hope we get the price tags back on right soon. I really pity people paying way too much for things of little value. I woke up confused and thinking since then, maybe our life is like this dream. Maybe someone slid into our lives and changed the price on everything. Maybe they mark up the value of competition, position, titles, fame, promotion, show-off, money, and power. Maybe we are all living this dream.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.